Can I have the children join me this morning? Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
How is everybody today?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you. I have here just a bunch of the lollipops that you guys are going to get to choose from, like you do most Sundays, except for when we bring the apples in. Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 different kinds of lollipops. Whose favorite lollipop is the red one? You guys like the red one? How about the blue one? You like the blue one, Zachy? Talia, you like the blue one? All right. What about the brown one? I think that's chocolate. Who likes the chocolate lollipops? You guys do? What about the orange? You like them all, Daniel. You like the orange ones?
I like all the colors.
You like all the colors? They're all pretty good. I mean, it's not hard to choose one, but
there is no bad
lollipop. Yeah, there's no bad lollipop. Now, I don't know what color or what flavor the yellow and the pink ones are.
The pink one.
Yellow is lemon lime. All right, who likes the lemon lime? You guys like the lemon? Red likes the lemon. I just saw him put his hand up.
It should say on the cap.
The pink one's bubble gum?
I guess.
Let's see. It says here cherry. All
right.
It's cherry. Who likes the cherry ones? You like all of them too? All right. Well, just like you guys have your favorite lollipops, we each pick favorite things in just about everything. We have our favorite food, our favorite movies to watch, our favorite music to listen to. We all pick stuff like that that's our favorite. But, you know, God, He doesn't pick favorites. He loves each one of us just as much as He loves everybody else in the world. No matter what we do, no matter who we are, He loves each and every one of us with more love than we can love anybody else or anything else. He loves more than we can even comprehend. So, and not only does He love each and every one of us, He commands us to love everybody else just as He loves us with all the love that we can give them. So, let's bow our heads and pray this morning. Lord, I thank You so much that You love us unconditionally and even more than we can comprehend. And we pray that we can spread that love out and be loving and kind to everybody that we come in contact with, Lord. We pray this in Your name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Now everybody can come up here and pick their favorite lollipop.
Do you have?
Enough for everybody, that's for sure.
We're so fortunate this morning, every couple of years, we have a Gideon speaker that comes and speaks to us, and we're so privileged to have Mr. Claypool with us this morning. In the period of a very short time, had a different message prepared for us this morning, but we're going to have to hear that story about the real Gideon another time. But Mr. Claypool, if you would come and share with us about the work of the Gideons, we would be most appreciative. Welcome to Christ Church.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I want to thank you wholeheartedly for inviting the Gideons in. My name is Glenn Claypool.
Put that down so we can hear you, sir.
Thank you, thank you. I say my name is Glenn Claypool, and I want to clear something up right away. Things are not always as they appear. Now, we are an organization, and I'm going to tell you about it, but the pastor is going to evaluate me this morning.
Ooh.
My timeliness, my preparation. I think I'm on now. I'm going to clear something up. Did any of you ever hear David Ring, the Baptist evangelist? He's an individual with multiple sclerosis. And as he stumbles to the podium and speaks unrecognizably, he throws a question to those who are listening, and he says, I have multiple sclerosis. What is your problem? Within a matter of moments of that man speaking, you do not see his twitch. You do not hear his stuttering. And so I want to tell you this morning,
this suit doesn't fit, Pastor. It's a little big, okay?
The suit does not fit. It's a little big. I was sitting at my desk. My little granddaughter came over and pulled my sleeve, and she said, Granddad, don't you want to be at my wedding? Now, this child is too small to be thinking about wedding, to know about wedding, and even care about wedding. My daughter and my wife put her up to that because, because I was well over 400 pounds. The suit fit very well. I have not been out to speak for 2 years. So I pull my suit out of the closet. It doesn't go well. Okay? Now, she's also going to get me on timing. And I came in on cue this morning. Huh. But I was at four different places before I got here. Because I thought New Ringgold was a whistle stop. And I would have 10 people I'd be speaking to this morning. And I knew right where the church was. And I ended up across the river over there. Found some joggers, had an interesting conversation with them, and ended up at the Methodist church on the hill. Ask a kid on a bicycle, where's the church at the end of the street? And I ended up at the Odd Fellows Lodge. And finally, an elderly lady was walking downtown, and she directed me to the, quote, next town. I was in the wrong town. So, anyway, things aren't always as they appear, guys. But this thing of the Gideons, they've been here before. Just let me read off my sheet. I've now calmed down because I come in on cue. Communication is the only problem in life. As I rushed out late this morning, I forgot the direction sheet. I forgot the pastor's phone number to call ahead. Older know this, and the younger will find out about this thing called communication. Okay? I remember kids running to my grandfather when I was young. And I said, Granddad, I can read. And the old man never changed the look on his face. And he said to me, you come back when you can read between the lines. And that's what I meant by things aren't always as they appear. Okay? I would like to pray at this time, if you join me. Lord God and Heavenly Father, for a moment drawn away to meet under the banner of your love and camaraderie and fellowship around and about the book, Lord, the Bible. We ask for the hedge to go up to protect the old and the young. Lord, while we're planting and watering, to you be the glory now and forever. In your name, amen.
Amen.
Now, the Gideons are a group of Christian businessmen. They've been that for over 100 years. We work together to do what no man can do alone, and that is to carry the Word of God around the world. But it wasn't always so. We are an extension of the local church. We do come out like this to speak. Now, on that thought, we are in over 200 countries. We put the Bible out in 100 languages. Okay? Now, we are men of the book. That is the Bible. It's also the rule book. And that's why I'm out of place this morning, being late and other things. Okay? So I'm going to get bad marks here this morning, kids. Okay? The other book is the checkbook. And with that, I mean, we pay dues, we donate as men, as an organization, and we cover all our expenses. Money was mentioned here this morning. Absolutely every penny, 100% of anything you give today, next week, or next year goes for the purchase and the distribution of God's word, and it goes around the world. Okay? Now, as I give this report, I'm asking for three things. One, I'm asking for your prayers. There's a lot of danger to Christians in the world as we speak. Okay? Basically, we're marked people. But that's another story. The next one is your help. And that is, if there's anyone here who would qualify to be a Gideon, and they have rules, you're more than welcome. You can talk to me after the services. Okay? And the last one, of course, is money. But money is necessary. That's what makes the fans go round and the lights on. Now, I'm going to put this one away. I want to go to the book here. How did the Gideons start? Guys, it's no accident that my day went like it did this morning. None whatsoever. The Lord had the whole thing in control. And I appreciate you for expressing that to me when I came through the door, sneaking to see where I was. Okay? Now, in 1898, two traveling salesmen shared a room in a hotel, and the one said to the other, "Do you mind?" And they had a light on each side of their bed. And the guy said, "Do you mind if I pray?" And the man said, "Absolutely not." And the man started to weep. And the other man said to him, "Why are you weeping?" He said, "Because I did not have the courage to ask you if you minded it if I prayed." And so the two men struck up an instant friendship because they had many things in common. Traveling salesmen, Christian background. By the following morning, when they met for breakfast, they had a new vision. And that was to speak openly and boldly about the Bible. About a year later, a third man joined them, and he put them to task and said, "You can't only talk about this, and you can't only want it. You have to do it." And the three of them put an organization together that started with three men over 100 years ago, okay? And has come to the point of a family of brothers and sisters, because 2 years after they organized and went to work, they took on their auxiliary, which was their wives. And that organization is pulsating as we speak. Because the family, and I see a lot of families here, is the building block of our republic, is what makes it all go round, is what it's all about. Now, with the wives, basic history, in 1908, they put their first Bible in a hotel. In 1911, they put the first Bible outside of the United States. It went up to Canada. In 1941, they gave the servicemen, and I'm sure there's men in this room who received one. It's just that way. Okay? Little testaments. In 1916, they put one in a hospital. Now, this is a slow start. But as you read this, we jump here. Go to two. Go to two, and there it is. Okay, this is where I come in, guys. I was born in 1946, and the book they put out starts here in 1946. That's when they went to the 5th and 12th grades at the public school. Do you want, just an off note, do you know that the Bible was a teaching book, not a preaching book, in the public school system from the time they jumped off the rock in 1620, Plymouth Rock, all the way up to 1948 in Dallas, Texas, was the last school district to remove the Bible? Okay? So they started there in 48, 49, Douglas MacArthur with the Second World War challenged the Gideons to go to Japan. Yes, they were our enemy, but they were also our brother. And they went over there. Not only did that happen, they were first in Asia. The same year, they went to Africa and South Africa. They started to give returns, which is this book I'm carrying here. The book on returns is testimonies of those Bibles put out. And we can talk about them later. It takes far too much time. Okay? Watch this one. In 1958, they hit 40 million Bibles. Now, they started also putting them in doctors and dentists' office, and they go a lot of places. But the big one, the big, quote, moneymaker for the Gideons is the card program. Do you have a card rack, Pastor?
Yes, we do.
Yes. Okay, the card rack, you know that. Because, again, we're down to this thing of communication. You can send a card for a multitude of reasons and donate Bibles also. Now, in 1970, they started with what? Oh, you know, I missed one here. Pastor, I forgot my glasses. I'm having a terrible time reading my own words here. Anyway. I missed the Apollo 8. Gideon testaments went around the world physically with the astronauts. Okay? But my favorite story is this one. They started what they call a blitz. Now, I'm from Carbon County. This camp over here is running the program they called you about. They did not have enough speakers, so they went to the closet and they got a couple of us guys out of mothballs and to fill it, to cover all the churches, all right? And I just jumped at the chance. I love to go out and talk to the people. But this thing on the Blitz, I didn't go to the one that they had in Mexico City. They had one in Redding here a little bit ago, but they called us all and we went down to Redding. I was up to Buffalo. I'll tell you about that one if I have a minute. But the one in Mexico is the one I want to talk to you about. Gideons came from around the world to Mexico City to hand out Bibles. A little girl came up, and of course they gave her one. She could not read, but she took it because it was offered. She ran home, she gave it to her mother. Her mother could not read, but it was something and they were poor, and so she put the Bible up on the shelf. Well, as fate would have it, time passed. The book greased over. And one day, in house cleaning, the mother threw the Bible out the open door. Now listen to the story very carefully. A dog came by and caught that book in midair and ran down the street. This is Mexico City. It's no small place. All right? Now, as the dog runs down the street, there's a crew of men working in a ditch, digging, pick and shovel. They're not out there for a suntan. Okay? And the guy's hungry, and he sees his dog carrying something, and he reaches down instantly and picks up a stone. He throws it at the dog, and the dog, he hits him, and the dog goes, bleh! And he gives it up, and he drops it. The old man beat the young man out of the ditch to get what the dog had, and it was a little Gideon Bible. But it was something, and the man put it in his pocket. He took it home. It's a rough one to tell this story. He said to his wife, dog come down the street today. I was so hungry, I got it off him, and this is all it was. And his wife looked at him and said, you know, I threw that out this morning. Now, that's a true story. Now, play that through once. For that little girl to take that book, for her mother not to throw it out, and to throw it out at the right time, for that dog to be zinging by and take it with, how many streets could that dog have ran down? That man could have been on the downstroke of picking instead of standing up when that dog went by. He might not have found the rock. He might not have hit the dog. The dog might not have given it up. The young man could have beat him out of the ditch. When he got it, he could have thrown it away. How many coincidences are in that? How many do you think are behind this morning's message for you to be sitting here and have an opportunity to share in something that is an extension of your church that touches lives? And like I said, that's a single story. There's others here also. The one about Buffalo, I was living up in upstate New York, and the Gideons called and said, we're going to Buffalo. And so I'm retired. So I jumped in the car and I drove up to Buffalo, and they put me with an elderly fella and took us down to a school and put us out, and a thunder shower come by. And we should have had swimming suits on, but we got drowned. But we were giving the little books out to the testaments to the kids. The teacher was watching us, the principal, out of the window upstairs. Daggers, man, just daggers. She was not enjoying the program. Finally, she can take no more. She comes down and confronts us. Now, we're allowed on a public sidewalk, but we're told not to make any confrontations. And she confronted us and said, we must leave. And so she, with respect, people, please. She had a very large chest. She proceeded to bulldoze us off the sidewalk, physically push us into the gutter with the water running. The old fella I was with was poor. I know that man was on a fixed income. He had a beautiful pair of floor shine shoes on, and she forced him to step down in that gutter with the water running. And he wept and wept and wept. So we stepped down, but the kids, out of the mouth of babes, they wanted to know the truth. They ran around the cars and between the cars to come out in the street where we were. And so now I know we were causing a confusion. We were wrong. But there was no way to get out of there because they had dropped us off. And I didn't know where I was. And so, just as the Lord would have it, a little S10 pickup truck comes by to pick us up with two men in it. And so I said to the older gentleman, I said, you jump in. I said, I'll stay here. That car hadn't left the curb yet. And this is in 1980, guys. 1980 in Buffalo. Two squad cars come in, lights blaring. And they both grab me, one in each hand. And they're trying to get me into the squad car. And I said, fellas, you don't have to wrestle me. We'll just go. I said, but I want you to know it's no accident that you're on this shift. Your young lives are never going to be the same. They had no idea what I was talking about. But I was praying from the time that man left, which was moments, to the time those lights came in. That quick, a third one pulls in. Big officer jumps out. In a very strong voice, he says, I'll take this one. And just the way that man said it, just my heart just lit up. He was the sergeant. I jumped in with him. That car hadn't even made it to the corner. And he said to me, where do you want dropped off? He said, my father was a Gideon, and I just love that you men come up and do what you do. And he took me back to the hotel where I was. But guys, these are our stories of blitzes. In 72, they started the college distribution. In 70, hang on here once, guys, so I will focus in. 89, they went behind the Iron Curtain. And that same year, they made it to the Soviet Union. And there's a Gideon camp in Russia. Do your math. In 1989, and the folding of the curtain, that did not fall, by power. That was the Soviet Union. Now, in 2001, remember I told you 40 million is a lot of books. And in 2001, they hit their first billion. The books have gone out. The fun stories of those books. During the Second World War, you remember the big family Bibles, the real large ones? They were outlawed when the Germans took over France. So they gathered all the books and burnt them, especially the Bibles. They took a boatload out to the dump and rolled them down over the hill. As fate would have it, the butcher was there that morning dumping his junk down over the hill. But he seen one of those big, old Bibles with waxed page. Free wax papers, can't pass that up. If it's free, it's for me. So the butcher grabs that old book, takes it home, tears it up, uses that waxed pages to wrap meat in. That city in France is the biggest Christian center of France today. Because everybody bought the baloney. Everybody got a page of the book. And the Lord works in strange ways. Okay? Now, got one more note it says here. Flip again. There we go. Now, that was three. Oh, gee whiz. Pastor, I think I've run to the end of the presentation here. How's my timing, guys?
Good. Yeah. I mean, we're winding up.
We're winding up. Then I will step down. Again, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Craig. We all know the Gideons, and we all know the staying power of what they do. And I even have a Gideon story myself that I'll have to share sometime. Well, no, I'll share it right now. I was in Table Rock in the Ozarks in Missouri. I went back for a family gathering. And if you know my family, you'll know that I'm the only Christian in my extended family, and I was having a pointed debate with a family member, and I didn't have my Bible with me, and I just had this moment. I was like, wait a minute, let me check this drawer. I opened up a drawer, and there was a Gideon Bible there, and I was able to use that Gideon Bible to witness to a family member, and at that point, I was praising God for the Gideons because, you know, just they're there when you need them. You know, there's just scripture. It just shows up at the perfect time. So please remember the Gideon offering that we have in the back for Mr. Claypool not for his trouble, but for the work of the Gideons. Because as you see, 100% of that offering goes towards buying scripture. And what other ministry does that happen with worldwide? You know, I'm at a loss. I mean, I know there's a lot that very high percentage goes to the ministry, but not 100%. I don't know of anybody. So thank you. Thank you very much, Mr. Claypool. So please stand for the benediction. I'd be remiss if I didn't mention that there is a ton of stuff for the church family this coming week to do for the chicken barbecue. It is all hands on deck. You do not have to be a card-carrying member to help with your church family. So please know that we are in desperate need of help because you know how much help we give to the community and those in need. And all the reason we can be so generous is because we have two successful chicken barbecues a year, but I have to tell you, they are labor intensive. It's not that we do a lot of laughing, but I remember talking to one of our new members one year, and I said, well, how's it going? And she said, I have never worked so hard in my life. And I don't say that to scare you away. I say that because it's good work and it's fruitful work. And so I just encourage you whenever you can, if you can help with anything, it would be fortunate. So, but our benediction is actually our call to worship. We're just going to bring it home. And that is, how can they call on the one they have not believed in? How can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? How can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Amen.